Well, I'd appreciate your prayers. Put the thought on the board. Lord, open our eyes. Kind of feel like it's fitting for a beginning service of a camp meeting. I hope that we all have a desire to get something out of the meeting. It can be a good social gathering, and we can all be friends, have a lot of fellowship together and those kind of things, but that's not really the purpose of the meeting. The purpose is the meeting that we could be in contact with the Lord, and that the Lord would be willing to help us, and that we would be willing to let Him help us. And Lord, help us open our eyes. Help us to be able to see what we've never been able to see before. I feel like that we're all a product of the environment that we was raised in. We're a product of the situation that we've been taught, those kind of things. Every one of us have things in our lives that we probably have got wrong. Probably, maybe still have wrong, but maybe deep ingrained in us, the way we was raised and what we was taught. If someone is raised all their life and taught by the ones that they respect, it's hard to drop those things off. It can mean something. If you was raised from a little child to be an adult, and the only proper time to take a bath was on Saturday night, and that's what was put into you, you would probably adhere to that pretty much. And if you didn't, you'd probably feel bad about it. There's a lot of things like that that's been that people have had seriously taught to them, and it's hard to break from those kind of things. And it's not really very meaningful when it has to do with the way you plant your corn or sweep your house or mop your floor, but it has a lot to do when you talk about spiritual things and how you live your life and how you treat people. And those kind of things can be very meaningful. How you represent God in the world. We don't really want to have error in the way that we present God to the world. God's a stern God, but when we're stern and He's not, it's not very winning. God means what He says, but when we say what He don't say to people, that's not very meaningful. And it's definitely not very winning to them. You can think things when you're a child and be raised and all your life and never really understand. I'll tell you a funny little story. My first wife, Tammy, most people, you're newer. When she was a little girl, she had a BB gun. She told me this story. She had a BB gun, and she shot a can with it. And the BB bounced back, hit the can, and it bounced back. And her uncle said, that must be an awful powerful gun for that BB to bounce back that far. Well, all of her life, she thought that was the criteria to see how strong a gun was how far the bullet bounced back. Well, we was in a situation one time and shot something, and the thing went all the way through, and I made the comment, well, that shot all the way through that. And my wife said, not very powerful, huh? And I said, what? And she said, well, if it was powerful, it would have... And then she started laughing. And she realized how foolish what she believed all of her life all of a sudden was, that if it had been powerful enough, it would have bounced back. And she then realizes that she believed something off of a sarcasm, a funny, something that she didn't understand from being little, that went all of her life with her, and all of a sudden she's got an error of the way she thinks about things. And again, it's not really meaningful today, folks, if it's about BBs. or if it's about guns. But when it has to do with the way God treats people, the way God thinks about things, the salvation that God wants to present to the world, about how much we love one another, about how we function with one another, our mercy to each other, our pity towards one another, those kind of, when that is what is at stake, it means a lot more to be able to see clearly. Now, in the scriptures, it's fairly obvious that the condition of blindness, physical blindness, was an analogy for spiritual blindness, and the Lord came healing spirit as physical blindnesses, and saying that you can see again. And Lord, help me to be able to see again. I was blind, the old songwriter said. I was blind, but now I see. And I was blind naturally, but I was blinded to truth. I was blinded in the way that things really ought to go. I look at the world around us, and it's shocking to me sometimes of the people that have left God out of their lives and have been generational now. Many families have been generational. The children that's growing up, their family didn't tell them, their mom and dad didn't tell them about God, and their grandparents never told them, and their great grandparents never told them, and God's been left out of it to the point that it is so absurd what people are thinking. And the blindness, the absolute blindness that people are starting to use. And if you keep up with the news and the times of our country and world around us, you'll have to say that the idea of debating what a male and female is absurd. It's plain absurd. It doesn't take high intelligence for it. But folks, when you're taught from the time you're little to believe something's a certain way, and you grow up believing that, the odds are you're going to believe that. Probably the reason why I don't believe in Allah today, and I'm not Muslim today, is because I wasn't taught it. And had I been taught it, probably the odds was I would be that. Unless there was something happened. Dramatic. Something convincing. Something outstanding happens. And that's what I'm saying today. Lord, whatever it takes to open my eyes, that ought to be our prayer. A Muslim can be converted to the truth, but it's going to take something to do it. Lord, open our eyes. The Apostle Paul was dead set on what he had been taught. He had it deep in him. Pharisee of the Pharisees. He was baptized the eighth day. Tribe of Benjamin. He was top notch. He had learned it well. And he was in defense of the God that he knew and loved. He loved God. And he was in defense of that. Totally blinded by all that he had been taught. Blinded that this is the truth, and a good Pharisee, a good Jew, is going to give his all to defend this, and along he went. But God looked down on an honest man. You say, honest man out killing people? Paul was honest man in his heart. And God saw the honesty of that and chose him, and he made an event for him to open his eyes. Do you know God had to blind him naturally to open his eyes? But he opened his understanding from something. He's gone along thinking that he's doing God's business, totally doing what God wanted him to do. And he got changed by an event. Something happened. I can't tell God what to do. He can do what he wants to. But I think it would be good for all of us to at least say to God, Lord, as far as my permission in this thing, the will that you give me, I give you total will to change the course of my life. Help me when I'm going the wrong way. Help me when I'm performing things that's not true. When I'm not seeing the picture right. Help me to see the picture right. Give me a on the road to Damascus experience. Know the story of Paul. He's on the road to Damascus and all of a sudden there's a bright light shining around him. He sees it well. And the Lord visited him. Saul, Saul, he calls it for him. Saul, Saul, who are you? This is Jesus. How can this be Jesus? All of a sudden, something must be stirring in his mind about all that he had been taught. It must have been some confusion about this. You mean I was wrong? Can I accept that I was wrong? I was wrong to persecute these people? You mean these were God's people I'm killing? That I'm acting ugly to God's children, women and children, and I'm persecuting them? How could that possibly be that I could have been so wrong and never seen it or understood it? We need to be an enlightened people for our day and for our time. We need to be enlightened to know that the Scripture tells us to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. How are we going to do that if we don't understand what it's all about? Folks, sometimes we can get narrowed down that it is somehow about the way we our organization. It's about people's salvation. It's about more than that. I appreciate all that we are. I thank God for the Church of God. It's God's. If God loves it, why can't I? I love the Church of God today. I love the boundaries that the Lord set in His Word for us. I love the standards of the church in this world that helps us stand out as somebody that loves the Lord. I accept it all. But you know, we can get so ingrained in things that we miss the essence by taking on the visual. We can lose the essence of what it's all about. Lord, help us not to lose the essence of what it's all about. I want to look at a scripture. I want to start with a scripture. Oh, let's try Acts first. 26th chapter of Acts. This is Paul's testimony. I wonder in my mind sometimes how many times Paul recounted this experience. Well, it's in the Scriptures different times. And I imagine in his years when somebody would say, Paul, you're mad. He'd say, oh, I'm not mad. Let me tell you what happened to me. Let me tell you. Why? Oh, you're a traitor to the cause. I'm no traitor to the cause, he'd say. Let me tell you what happened to me. Must have done it over and over. I imagine for a long time after this, everywhere he went, you know, I preach a lot. I go to different camp meetings, preach a lot. And you know, the internet age has made it a little bit different, harder, because what I'm saying today, a lot of folks at home is going to be listening to if you all post it, okay? And so, I never was one that tried to just do this. But I imagine it was if I got a good story, all of a sudden something happened, in days going by anyway, when I travel around, if I got a good story, I mean a good something happened, it was a good story, well, I'd preach that just about every camp meeting I went. I'd incorporate that into something. I imagine Paul incorporated this into everything that he did. And he didn't have to just say it once. He went a long ways. It didn't spread as far as fast. This is Paul's account. At midday, O king, I saw in the way, 13th verse, 26th chapter of Acts. At midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven above, the brightness of the sun shining around about me, and them which journeyed with me. And we were all fallen to the earth. I heard a voice speaking unto me, and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise, stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee, for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes, to open their eyes, and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. To open their eyes. Paul, I'm going to send you to the Gentiles. What a conversion. What a dramatic thing. All of a sudden, there's an experience that cannot be denied. He must have been shook to his boots. I mean, he got one. Now, here's a Jew of the Jews, a Pharisee of the Pharisees. This man was right along the lines, taught, strict, had it all, and all of a sudden the Lord comes and shows him how blind he really was. Not only is he now not fighting the Jews over the Jews, he's going to their enemy to save them. What an ironic situation. And how far wrong could a man been about the purpose of the Almighty God? They're totally wrong. And come to the point that he has to recognize the very one that I hated the most, that was destroying everything that I thought was right and true, the one that came in and caused the most disturbance to that, not only was I wrong about that, he's still alive and speaking to me. He's come to me with mercy and salvation and now calls me to go to the enemies of the Jews, the Gentiles. Do you know Paul so was enlightened? He was so enlightened that he withstood Peter to his face over it. When Peter, you remember the deal where he said Peter, they had come together and Peter had kind of shunned the Gentiles and separated, and Paul withstood him to his face and said, "You're wrong, these are God's people." What a conversion. You know, probably we don't have any situations in here so dramatic as that. But you know, in our individual lives, we can be so wrong about the way we approach life, the way we approach one another, the way we live for God. We can be so wrong in what we think the most important things. Lord, help us. Lord, open our eyes. It's the first of the meeting, and the idea of the meeting is that at the end of this meeting, I'll have gained something. That I will see the picture more clearly. I'll see my life more clearly. The devil is confusing. The devil brings smoke and fog. He don't like to say things to be not clearly seen. It's not God that doesn't allow you to know what your calling in this is. The God, Lord knows what your calling is. It's not His confusion that keeps you from knowing it. The idea is that we see more clearly what God has for us. What do you want me to be doing? What should I be doing with my life? Where's the blessings at on my life? What do you want me to do? Open my eyes that I can see clearly the path that I'm supposed to be on, the calling that I'm supposed to have. None of the leadership around the church that I know of is going to say, "You guys, hold off a while. There's just too many of us working for the Lord right now. There's too many ministers ministering. Oh, there's too many people trying to get their public prayer in when it's time to pray in our prayer meetings. Just you all hold off a few months and maybe we can squeeze you into a job." Folks, there's plenty room for every calling out there. There's plenty room The call is, come on, let's go. Lord, open my eyes, see what I'm supposed to be doing. Put the blessing on it. Put the calling on it. Give me the authority of your Spirit to help me to know what is done. There's not too many song leaders. There's not too many public prayers. There's not too many ministers. There's not too many exhorters. There's not too many to shake a hand when they come into the building. There's not too many to go out into the street and invite people. There's not too many there that we don't have somebody that can take some tracts out or some flyers out and invite people in. There's not too many. It's not too crowded on the streets of La Ronda for you. It's not too crowded at the mall or at the post office for you to have a witness for the Lord. There's something to do. Lord, open our eyes. Open our eyes that we might see. The call was to Paul to go to the Gentiles to open their eyes. To bring them from blindness into a sight. I'm going to tell you, you know what kind of a chore that must have been? I want you to think about it. What kind of a powerful... These Gentiles had been rigidly taught of Diana, of Zeus, or Apollo, of the gods of their times, of the superstitions that they had. Superstitions are what used to be big in the country that I come from. The mountains of West Virginia was known for their superstitions, the things that they have. They're not completely gone now, but I still marvel at some of them. One guy told me for child's croup, when they got croupy, a little child, and they had a piece of elderberry. They cut just a little stick of elderberry and had it on a string around their neck. I say, what's that? That's elderberry. Well, what's it for? It's for croup. Really? It's for croup. Well, how does it work? What do you mean, how does it work? Well, how does elderberry help the croup? Well, I don't know, but it just does. Well, do they breathe it in? No, I don't think so. What, does it absorb in? I don't think so. Well, I mean, does the Spirit slide? How does it work? You know, how does it work? Is that, am I being too critical to be able to ask how it worked if it works? Another one was, is if you never saw your daddy, if you never saw your dad in your life, something happened to him, then you had the ability to blow into a person's mouth, and a baby's mouth, and cure them of thrash, okay? The white stuff that builds up on there, and if you ever saw your daddy. I can never figure out, listen, I don't know everything. I don't claim to know everything. I don't know the powers that are out there that exist that I don't know that exist. I just want to know how that works. If you ever saw your daddy. I saw my daddy, so I didn't have the gift. But the ones that didn't see their daddy could blow into their mouth, and more times than I'm going to tell you, there wasn't a time that they didn't blow into that baby's mouth and the thrash not get better. But baby's thrash always gets better whether they blow in their mouth or not. So they always got better and they believed it. And many, many people took their babies to my grandmother who never saw her and to blow into their mouth. And their testimony many times was before they could get out of mother's collar, the baby's thrash was gone. Well, whatever it was worth, we'll believe many times what we don't realize. Why are we believing what we're believing when somebody offhandedly says something when we're young or something happens and we might believe something. But Lord, open our eyes to your purposes. I don't believe anything is in this world that's not connected with the God that made it. God is responsible. God did it. Give God the glory. The brother was saying that God's glory, it's about God. No matter what it is. It's about God. And if God makes an elderberry to do that, it ain't the elderberry, it's God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. It's not about these other things. It's about God. I don't understand everything that works in this world. But I do believe this. It's about God. Because it all is. It's all His creation. You're His creation. It's all about God. Bring it to the Gentiles. Now, here the Gentiles was with all these superstitions. What was it going to take? Folks, now we're in a meeting like this. We've heard the gospel. We're here because we're gospel believers. But you imagine me sitting and talking to a bunch of atheists today? Now, what little bit of anointing might fall on me, you can judge it or not. But it was going to take a lot when you sat in butt like this. There's going to have to be something that was not human that was going to be happening to be able to turn these people from darkness to light. To open their eyes was not going to be human. The anointing and the power of the Spirit was going to be convicting. And the words was going to be like God Himself speaking. And the piercing of it. Then there was going to be, along with that, there was going to be those that were stretched out and they were going to lay hands on them and they were going to set up. And so everybody is going to see, Apollo never done that. Who done that? Oh, we'll bow down to this minister over and over. Folks, listen. Every time you start giving glory to a man, you've missed it. This ain't about no matter what the calling is on. This is about God all the way through. There ain't no glory for no man. Peter said one time when they was bowing to him, Paul did another time, bowing to him, why do you look at us as though we have some power or glory? It's the very Jesus that you crucified that's doing this. This ain't us. Enlighten us. Well, I won't accept it, Peter said. Don't be bowing down to me. I won't accept that. I'm a man. Just like you. Just as faulty as you. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. And the Gentile world was rocked by salvation because there was a power of God that came to do something. As little as great, little or small, your problems, your difficulties, or your ignorance, or your misunderstandings about things will be, the answer is God. The answer is God to bring it to your life. Bring it to your attention. It's why we freely want to say, Lord, use the elements around me. Use my physical condition. Use my financial conditions. Use the conditions of my life to pierce me. Touch me. Do something or I'll go astray. I'll see things that ain't right. I'll see illusions. I'll see smoke and fog and I won't understand. Give me a clearness of this. Rock me, shake me, stop me in my course. So that I can open my heart to your truth. That the Lord can speak because we don't always listen. Well, I know God can boom from heaven and we all hear it. That ain't the way He usually does it. He's usually waiting for you to stop long enough to hear what He's saying. If you want it bad enough. In Ephesians, about the first chapter of Ephesians, I'll start. Wherefore also, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, and the love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. You hear that? That He would may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, because if He don't give it, you don't have it. In the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. That the eyes of your understanding may be enlightened, that you might be able to understand what it is that His calling for you really is. That I'm not just blinded off that I don't have a job. I'm one of these people that just don't have anything to do. No, you need to be enlightened to what it is that the calling, the wisdom of this understanding of the Lord, what is that you got for me in this time? Lord, open our eyes. Help us to see. You know, God's working, God's active, God's alive. There's a spiritual world. I'm not presuming that we go into some kind of a situation to where we're looked at as some strange creatures, that every moment of our lives is something spiritual that we all sit around and do and go all at. I'm not talking about that, but there's a spiritual side of life always. Open our eyes, Lord, to the spiritual life, to the people that we meet, in life to be able to understand whether or not there's an avenue into their lives or there's not. Our prayer is, Lord, send us honest souls into our pathway. But if I ain't there to see it or hear it or understand it, it goes by. Lord, help us to be in those kind of realms that this is about the work of the Lord. We only live in once. We're only going to do it one time. The years lost will be lost, but help us to redeem the time. Open our eyes to the situation. Is there someone hurting? That's an opportunity. That one that's hurting, that one that's suffering, that one that's in need, that's an opportunity many times for God to be able to work in their lives. That one person that you meet might be the person that the Lord's working with. So, Lord, help us open our eyes, enlighten our understanding, open our eyes and enlighten us to what's going on in the world around us. Think about a scripture over in, I believe it's 2 Kings. Oh, let's see, 2 Kings 6th chapter. Oh, let's see, where do I want this one at? Thirteenth verse says, and he said, go and spy where he is. So setting of this was that as was kind of common there, there was Syria and Israel, Judah, they were always fighting around with one another over there, and they still are, but they was fighting around, and they thought that there was a spy. Syrians thought there was a spy. The king thought there was a spy because he kept getting outguessed. He got outguessed. And so he says to one of them, find out who the spy is. Got a spy among us. He said, ain't no spy among us. We're all straight here. We're all good to go. You're all in the same cause. I'll tell you what's going on. There's a prophet over there. And that prophet's telling the king what you're saying on your bed at night. What's going on is that prophet's telling on you because he knows what the Lord, God's telling him. That's why he said he's the one that's doing that. So there's not a, we're not a spy. This is what prophet's the one that's doing it. So he says, 13th verse, and he said, go and spy where he is that I may send and fetch him. And it was told him, saying, behold, he is in Dothan. Therefore sent he hither horses and chariots and great hosts, and they came by night and compassed the city about. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city both with horses and chariots, and his servants said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? You've been pretty accurate about foretelling things. He walks out there and sees the hosts of a great army around with horses and chariots, and there is no escape. It's encompassed. There's no escape. So he asks his master, how's this going to turn out? What do you see? This is all I can see. This is all I can see. Folks, when I look in the news says of some tragedy, it's all I can see. I only hear what I hear, and I only see what I see. When I look out and there's a great accident or something happens, I see a great accident. I didn't see nothing else. What about you? What do you see when you look at the events of life and they start saying about it? I hear the story about the world doing this and 911 and Trade Center gets hit and you've done all that and then they're flooding down here of Katrina and New Orleans and all that, and all I see is the tragedy. What about you? So I see. You know, there's more goes on in God's world than that. And these events many times are the very avenue for a clarion call to God's people. Arise! Get up! It's time! There's souls involved in this. I'll tell you, I was in tent work at the time. 911 was a time to be. There was a lot of people praying. That shook a lot of people up there for a while. It was a good time to be out there because people were saying, well, we need God, don't we? That's right. Let's go. Time to need God. Well, this is the scenario. Wakes up and now he's entrapped around. How shall we do? Didn't see anything else but the natural. But the prophet saw something else.
And he answered, "Fear not, for they be with us are more than they be with them." What?
Well, it's only me and you.
But if God be for us, who can be against us? Lord, open our eyes.
Oh, I'm afraid to do that. I'm afraid to step into that area. I'm afraid to go into that.
Maybe laughed at. I may be scorned. I mean, there's more people out. I could be beat up.
Anything can happen.
Well, there's more with us than they are with them. God's bigger than all of it. There's more with us. He prayed this way. And Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes." And I read that and I thought, you know, Lord, open our eyes. Open our eyes to the spirituality, the spiritual world that's around us. Help us to see through the Spirit what's going on. Because if all we ever do is look through the carnal eyes at things, we'll only see carnality. We'll never see the true purpose. It's really easy to get upset at the tragedies and the heartaches of life when you see them like that. But there's a spiritual side to things that we ought to fight against. I didn't see some man abuse his child and be indignant of that, and well, we should be. But behind that act is a man that's desperately in need. He's going to hell if he's not changed. To look beyond and wonder what God thinks of that. It's tragic to him too. Oh, open his eyes. Open his eyes that he might see the reality of the situation that he's in. To be able to see beyond it. Be able to use the eyes of faith. To realize God's in control. Peter come down to a time that they're going to kill him the next day, and he come down and he went to sleep. They didn't wake him up. He's in there sleeping. Hey, if you was going to be executed tomorrow, how much sleep would you get? Peter went to sleep. Well, he'd already been told that he was going to be. He said, "When you're young, this, but when you're old, they're going to do this." I don't know if that was part of it or not, but he went to sleep. God's on our side. Open our eyes and help us to be able to see. Lord, use the events, whatever they may be, to open our eyes to be able to see. Well, this is the way this story goes. There's more about not being able to see in this. Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see." Because right now, he's only seeing a half picture. He doesn't see the truth. We will react, folks, off of what we see. If I see something come out, I'm going to run. Right? If I see a situation like this, I'm going to be concerned. I'm going to perish here. Look at this. But if I would have walked out there and seen what this guy ends up seeing, I'm going to act different. I want to say, what do you all think you're going to do? You know, you can act different when it seems, when you get the information. Many, many times in this life, we're not working off of all the information. God may be working with somebody, and they may be under conviction, and they may be acting ugly to you, and you go, "Well, they're going to act like that." And if you would open up and see that God's convicting them, maybe you can be a help. And the whole thing be different. Lord, help us to open our eyes. This said, "And the Lord opened his eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountains was full of horses and chariots of fire around about Elisha. And when they came down to him, Elisha prayed unto the Lord and said, 'Smite this people, I pray thee, with blindness.' And he smote them with blindness according to the word of Elijah. And Elisha said unto them, 'This is not the way, neither is this the city. Follow me, and I will bring you unto the man whom you seek.' But he led them to Samaria, and it came to pass when they were come unto Samaria that Elisha said, 'Lord, open the eyes of these men that they may see.' And the Lord opened their eyes," and you think of how helpless. You think of how helpless these men were, not being able to see. They were so helpless in their blindness, a great army, horses and chariots, and was totally useless.
because they couldn't see what they were supposed to do. And you know, we'll be as equally as helpless and useless if we can't see and understand. There was a story, a true story, best as I know, of one of the ancient wars where these two kingdoms fought one another, and the one prevailed. But in their prevailing, they captured about 100,000 men of the other army. And the king, sitting scratching his head, said, "What are we going to do with 100,000 men? If we let them go, they'll go regroup and we'll have to fight again. If we keep them, we're going to have to feed them. And that'll be a great burden on us to have to feed them. So let's not do that." So what he decided to do was, they blinded them. Every 99 men that come through, they poked both eyes out, burned them out, and left the 100th man with one eye so that he could lead the other 99 back home. And they did that to the whole 100,000 and left one eye with one man for every 100 men and took them back home and let them go back to that kingdom. And their people had to take care of their own blind people, and they never was able to make war again because they spent all their effort taking care of a bunch of blind men that they had to do. So that's what that was the remedy of the problem. But they were useless in the sense of being a soldier after that. They couldn't fight no more war. The devil wants to blind you spiritually, wants to keep you in a situation that you're always just wrestling around with the carnality of life. The secular carnal life that you're always wrestling with, and this one did me wrong, and this one did me wrong, and I don't have to dress this way, and I shouldn't cut my hair off, and all the carnality, and you never see anything. That's not what it's about. It's about being able to see. It's about being able to know what it really is all about. Lord, open our eyes to the realities. When we set this down that this is a bunch of rules, then you ain't got anything. Listen, that's crude. But when you narrow it down to a bunch of rules, you don't have anything. It isn't about that. The rules are the blessings with it, but that's not what it's about. Open our eyes to the spirituality of our lives. Be able to be in the presence of God. To be able to be in contact with the Lord. What does the Scripture say in Matthew 5? Blessed are the pure in heart for what? They shall see. They shall see God. Their eyes are opened up. How do you see God? And you mean God's going to literally, surely, and I'm going to look with these eyes? That's not surely not what that's talking about. I'm going to see God in what God's in. I'll see God in you, brother. I'll see God in nature. I'll see God in our congregation. I'll see Him in our services. I'll see God. I'll see the works of God around in our lives. He prayed, and you read the rest of that story. It goes something like this. He went down there and took them down there, and the king said, "What are we going to do with them? Going to kill them? No, don't harm these guys. Feed them." This must have been real humiliating. I don't know if the king believed the report. There's a lot of irony in the Bible to me, and this is one of it. I mean, in the way people responded, this is one of it. The king believed the report that this prophet knew what was going on before they did it. Then he sent an army to catch him. He knows they're coming. I mean, if God's doing that for him, you better stay back. I mean, don't fool this guy, because there's something going on that you can't handle with this. But they did it anyway, and so instead of hurting them, they loved them. Bless them, you poor guys. Now this is what it's like. The proud can be killed, but you poor guys must be hungry. Let's feed you. Let's give you something. I'll give you something. They must have went away. They're pretty good guys. They fed us. You know, they could have cut our heads off, and they fed us down there. Do you see how powerful this man that could see was? He wasn't threatened by this army to have to dispose of him like the king that blinded all those eyes. He had a power about him that he was beyond that. He didn't have to do that to these guys. He didn't have to put their eyes out and incapacitate them, because the God he served was bigger than that. I don't have to beat you down. I don't have to overcome you in an argument if I've got a God. I don't have to do that if I see clearly.
I don't have to be that way. I can be bigger than all that. And when you aren't that way, I can still offer you bread. You want to eat a sandwich? You hungry? Here's something for you. I don't have to be in that conflict. Because my God's working. My God will work with you. I don't have to fight you. You're fighting God. See, when I can understand, Lord, open our eyes today. We come to the first of the meeting. The desire is that every need will be met. That's why we have meetings, right? Well, that every need that we have will be met. God's way of doing it is to enlighten us to it. And all of a sudden, I'm aware. I know God's big enough God to erase my faults and problems and things without me knowing it, but He don't. He brings it to our understanding and say, do you want rid of it? Here's the fault. What do you want? There's some reason why I have this problem with getting along with people. And people are just bad. I can't get along. Well, maybe it's like one of my uncles said one time. He's married 4 or 5 times, and he made a comment about all of these marriages and said, boy, I can sure pick them. I thought when he said that, I knew him well, and I thought when he said that, they can pick them. I mean, I don't want to be like. I'm going to have to be able to see something. See here, maybe it's me. Maybe it's me. Maybe there's something in me that doesn't work right. Maybe there's something dysfunctional. Maybe in my insecurities, I try to be too much. Maybe I want to be talk too much because I want everybody to know that I know something. Maybe there's some insecurity about I want to be important. Maybe there's some insecurities about me. I want to be tough to make people stay away from me. Whatever it is, maybe there's something in me that I need the Lord to open my eyes about. That I can see that. I want that help. I may be lingering with this and not having the victory I need because I got something that needs took care of in there. That I've not been willing. I've hid it in that dark room the old song talks about where I don't want to go. I don't want to go put the light to that. I don't want it to be seen. I don't want it to be brought out. But the Lord can come and make it necessary. Lord, open our eyes to be able to see the needs that we have. We want the needs to be took care of. But the first step is, Lord, help us to see it. I want to see that need that I have and the reason that, you know, the fact of it is most people don't recognize their needs like the people around them does. It is true. I mean, people around will know that there's a problem there, but a lot of times it's not. We won't let it be evident to us. Painful, hurtful. And what can I do about it? If I acknowledge it, everybody's going to know more, and then they're going to recognize it. If I don't do something about it, and how can I do anything about it? The Lord can do something about it. Lord, open our eyes that we might be able to see. You pray for me. I want to be faithful.